You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in. Welcome back to Finding Direction. This week, I'm sitting down with Mark Dreger. And as we dive into this episode, a little bit about Mark. He is a brand strategist, and he's also a host who's on a mission to help the truly ambitious and creative realize that happiness only comes from pursuing your passions at all costs. All right. On this episode, a few things we talk about is the importance of doing hard things in your life and how you start to do those hard things immediately. We also talk about why you should stop looking for your macro life purpose and how you can start looking for your life purpose right now. And also how you find your passion specifically in this season of your life. So those are a few things to give you a little taste of what you can expect in today's episode. And without further ado, we are going to dive in, and here we go. Mark Dreger, welcome to the show, man. I'm pumped to chat today.
Stu, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So as we kick into today, and I continue to be envious of the space you have behind you, the office we were talking about earlier, super cool space. But as we kick this thing off, I'd love it if you could give our listener today a little bit of a background, just as far as like, who's Mark, a little bit about your story and kind of how you got to where you're at today.
Yeah, certainly. So, it seems to come up, but only because I bring it up all the time. I'm Canadian. So I live just outside of Toronto, Canada, and I grew up here. And I grew up in a really great family, like upper middle class, safe community, great schooling, great family. And then my mom remarried when I was 7, and that created a bit of a really disruptive household. So ultimately at 16, I bailed. I moved out. And 7 to 16 is like a totally different world. But if we're talking about the career side of things, at 23, my wife and I had our first child. So we got married super young. I have my first kid. I'm earning $45,000 a year in Toronto. So for those who are American, it's kind of like living in Manhattan, right? On $45,000 a year, my wife is having a baby, so she's not working. And I decide I'm going to quit my job at this company I'm working at to start my own agency. So that kicked off what's become 15 years now of owning a creative agency, Phantom Media, with all of the ups and downs and craziness that goes with business ownership.
Very cool. So if we go back, I'm curious, you know, we go back into your story a little bit more. Let's say we go, right when you're sort of going into the real world, quote unquote, for the first time. I'm curious for you, sort of what was that process like for you? And ultimately, why did you choose initially to go into, you know, like marketing and video? Like, why was that sort of your initial, like, okay, this is what I think I'm going to do for the rest of my life?
Well, I don't think I found that yet. I mean, the idea that this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life is the biggest myth in the world. And so when I was about to answer your question, I was about to say, like, well, it's kind of a funny story. And I've noticed that when I sit down across from people, maybe you notice, you have people over for dinner, or maybe you're just getting to know another couple, you're out on a double date. How did you guys meet? And they're like, oh, it's kind of a funny story. You know, there's like these twists and turns, and I just met this person through this person. They were a sister of a friend of a friend, and then this happened, and then like that's how my career path was. That's how life is, I believe. But I didn't set out to get into marketing. I went to film school, but I only went to film school because actually I wanted to be an architect and an engineer. I love environment. I love space. I love light. I love the idea of how things work and mechanics and stuff. And so I wanted to be an architect and I got like really scared in high school, and film seemed easier and more fun. So I went to film school. And then when I graduated, I don't know about you or even your listeners, but like when I graduated, I was like, world, I am here. don't worry, film industry. Don't worry, people who've been holding a spot for me. Mark has graduated. Yeah. Mark is here. Everyone can now rest easy because I'm on the job. And guess what? Like, nobody cared. It was like crickets. And so ultimately, I got into marketing because I went to film school and I was like, now how do I make money? Trying to work in television. trying to work in film. And then I realized there's this thing called corporate video. And that's ultimately how I landed in that space.
Interesting. So it was almost like like it was your fail safe. It was your safe road that you took.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was because I didn't actually make very many conscious decisions up until the last few years. I mean, like if we go beat by beat, and if I don't bore people, but like I wanted to be an architect because I grew up in a family of builders in like the construction industry.
Yeah.
And I liked that idea, and they liked that idea. And then I got introduced to film, and I was like, well, this seems like more fun. So I was like, I'm going to go to film school. And then in film, the easiest type of films I liked were documentaries. So I started gravitating towards that. Then when I graduated and went into television, I hated freelancing. I did that for a year and a half in television. Hated every aspect of it. So I was like, well, who can use my skills? Corporate. And then corporate became, hey, I can not work at a company. I can start my own agency. And then starting my own agency is like, well, what am I going to start it with? Video, the very thing I was taught. And so I find myself year after year making all these, like, you know, people might be like, wow, what a great career path. I don't think I made a conscious decision the entire time. It was just the next natural step.
Interesting. Interesting. I think it's interesting how you say it's like life, you know, this funny story I have to tell you, right? Life's these twists, these turns. It's like you never really know where you're going to end up. And one of the things I always talk, you know, a lot to people about is it's like you want to be certain and focused on where you're going, but you need to have this ease and this acceptance that, like, at any moment there could be something that comes in and takes you in the right direction that you're just supposed to go in, right? It's like you may have a conversation with someone randomly one day and you go, man, like, I never thought about that, but all of a sudden I feel like that's what I'm actually supposed to do now. And it's this weird sort of like, be focused on what you want, but be accepting to the things that, you know, the universe or the world or God or whatever you want to call it brings to you in certain moments of your life. And so I'm curious for you, like, how do you think you go about creating a strategy to figure out what you're supposed to do in your life, like right now, like for someone who's listening to this, like, how do you figure out what you're supposed to do right now, but also know that, you know, your life's probably going to be this funny story of twists and turns.
Well, and so you've exactly hit on it, which is when we look back, no matter your age, when you look back, you can connect the dots and see the twists and turns. And yet when we look forward, we want to control everything. We want things to happen the way we want it to happen, how we want it to happen, when we want it to happen, with the outcome we want, without any of the mistakes along the way. And so looking back, again, it's this like mystery of dots connected, like stars in the sky, right? Yeah. Where, you know, I was never an astrologer or whatever, but somehow people see like a soldier out of a bunch of dots that are getting connected.
Yeah.
So we connect these dots and we're like, oh, look, it's a soldier. But looking forward, we want to keep everything narrow, tight, and controlled. And so ultimately, you know, when I was 35, so I'm old now, I'm turning 40 next year.
Happy birthday early.
Thank you. But when I was 35, I'm running a multi-million dollar agency. My wife and I have been married a long time. We have 4 kids. And I theoretically have everything that success says I should have, right? I'm not like ultra wealthy, but we could pretty much do anything we wanted at any point without thinking about it. And it's a pretty great place to be, except I was completely unhappy. I didn't enjoy the business I owned. I wasn't excited about the future and I was getting bored. I was 50, 60, 70 pounds heavier than I am now, like completely out of shape and never had taken that seriously. I wasn't a good father. I wasn't a good husband. I was busy working all the time. And I hit a point where I was like, is that it? Like, is this it?
Yeah.
I'm 35. So 45, 55, 65, 75. Like, I just have more of this. And what I've come to realize, and I'm answering your question in the longest way possible,
please,
but what I've come to realize is that whether you're 22, 28, 35, 45, 60, 80, 9, my grandfather's 93, even my grandfather, it's never too late for you to question, is this it? And the answer is always no. This is not it. This is not what you're destined for. This is not where you need to stay stuck. This is not who you need to be. And only in the last few years, and maybe even only in the last 12 months, have I realized that when we look forward and we have a clearish idea of what we want, who we want to be, what we feel like, what we look like, what things sound like, and if we release the how it's going to work out and when it's going to work out, but just focus on that idea that you have, you can untrap yourself from the life that you thought you wanted. You can free yourself from all the things that you feel are holding you back, and you can start taking steps towards that person you want to be, no matter how old you are, because at every age, you will bump up against feeling stuck. I've seen enough people, but the older you get, the quicker I think people are to give up on getting unstuck.
Damn. Yeah. It's almost like you get worn out. You're like, well, you know, why try? And I think one really interesting thing you said, it's like that, you know, if you're listening to this right now, you need to absolutely hear is it's that you need to let go of the how. Like if you say, okay, I want to do this thing and it doesn't make any sense, but it just feels right in my soul. Like pursue that. And even though you don't know the how, things are going to come into your life at the right time. You're going to have different conversations. Like so many things will come to your life because you've made that decision. And once you make the decision, there's things in the world that like work in alignment with you. Like I think one of the most powerful things you can do to create a future you're excited about, that you're passionate, that you enjoy, is simply like make a decision that that's what you're going to pursue. And just be like, I'm not willing to settle for, like you said, feeling stuck anymore. I'm not willing to settle for thinking this is it for the rest of my life. Like, I don't like this and I'm not willing to settle. And when you make that decision, things start to change in your life. And so,
yeah,
go ahead.
If I can just add to that real quick, my mission is to try and encourage people to pursue their passion at all costs. And people are really uncomfortable when I say that. Pursue your passion at all costs? Mark, you're a husband, you're a father, you have responsibilities. You know, you might say, I have rent, I have a mortgage, I have student debt. I can't just shirk all my responsibilities to blah. Those are just excuses you're making. Because you're making excuses because one, you may be afraid to pursue your passions. You may not know what your passions are. You may not know what you want to go all in on. Cool, figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
But the reason I say at all costs is because if you do not put yourself first, if you do not eke out some selfish time to develop the skills, to become the person you need to be, to invest in yourself, in your passions, the things that light you up, the things that give you energy, the things that fuel you through the hard times, if you do not put yourself first, no one else is going to. Yeah. No one is going to come along and say like, oh man, I've been waiting for you. Like I said, when I graduated from college, right? No one was waiting for me. No one is going to stop you in the street and go, excuse me for a second. You have this amazing talent and skill. Can I use you and harness you and coach you and make you better? No one is going to come and give you any of those shots. Like it's on you. And the reason you have to do it at all costs is because you're worth it. You're worth putting yourself first and making some sacrifices today to spend the next 10, 30, 50 years living the life that you could be living.
Hmm. So how does someone find that passion that they then pursue at all costs?
I think it's, do you have like a formula or framework? Because I was going to say it's messy. It's like maybe there's a step-by-step way you could go about it. But in my experience, it's thinking back to the things that really excited you as a kid. You know, and I don't mean like when I was five, I wanted to be a race car driver and that'd be cool, but that's not my passion right now. It's more like, hey, when I was in my early 20s, I used to listen to talk radio before podcasts and stuff. And I'd always think to myself, like, I could do what those people were doing. And then the voice of doubt in my head would go like, well, who are you? You didn't go to radio school. You're not, what are you talking about? But secretly, deep down inside, I was like, I know I could do that. Like, I know I can do that. I know I'd be awesome at that. And so, well, there was something kind of tucked away.
Right.
There's these little seeds. There's these things and I don't even think they come from hobbies. I don't even think they come from that. It's the little seeds of the little ideas of the things you can't let go of. Mm. It's the stuff that excites you and inspires you to do something, but then the fear and the doubt kicks in and then you don't because you talk yourself out of it. So it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be crazy, but those things that you keep bubbling to the surface time and time again. Sorry, there's like a fly in the studio, circling around me right now. For our listeners, there's a fly on my head. Anyway, so it's the things that keep rising to the surface, I think, time and again.
Yeah. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I think it's a bit of looking back on you know, your life. Like one thing for me that always stuck out to me is I was never a music person. Like I played the drums for a little, you know, wasn't that good. I did like the seventh grade talent show and eighth grade talent show, which was fun. And then tried to learn guitar. And my choir teacher literally told me I was in choir in seventh grade. And you do like they test you in the beginning. They're like, are you baritone or bass or like whatever all the other ones were. And she just tells me, alto. She goes, yeah, alto. And she goes, just sit in the back and pretend to sing because you're tone deaf.
Oh, yeah, that hurts.
Rips my heart out because I have some family that's actually the backup vocalist for Elton John. So there's some music stuff in my family, but she shut my dreams down. But long story short, I used to always see people like performing on stages, like, you know, singers or artists, and would always just be like, man, that's so cool. I just feel like there's like similar to what you said, like there's something about that. I don't know like what the heck that is, but like something I just connect with that I don't understand right now. And now today I do, you know, a lot of public speaking, and it's that same sense of like getting on a stage performing. And yeah, it's not music or something, but it has that seed of, wow, that, you know, that engagement that I had from those other people, that fly really likes you. But I think it is, you know, important to look at those seeds. And then I think the second piece of it as well is letting your intuition guide you, right? Like really being able to get silent and quiet and sit with yourself and say, okay, let me look at these seeds that have been in my life and let me just ask myself, like, what else excites me right now in my life with something to do with that seed?
But I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to find that forever, right? Like who, I'm not talking about marriage and things like that, but if we're talking about just career and work and business, like forever is a long time. And you know, people grow up and they go like, I want to be a lawyer because they think of a lawyer. I want to be a doctor because they think of a doctor. But then I would always tell younger people, like, do you know how many really interesting, cool professions are tied to law that are not the lawyer position? Like all kinds. Yeah. Or you think you want to be a doctor. Do you know how many professions are tied to the medical industry that actually, frankly, have nothing to do with it? It's like when you meet a veteran and then you find out they weren't in combat. It's because guess what? There's a lot of people in the military who are not frontline soldiers, right? Yeah, it's like, and so there's all these different ways we can go and all these different places we can go, but we just have a habit of thinking of that one thing. I think you should focus on right now and the next few years. I think you should have a picture of where you could go, but like, I'll use myself as an example. When I was in my 20s, I just wanted to make really great videos. Yeah. And then I started a marketing agency, and suddenly it's like, I want to be an entrepreneur. And then in my marketing agency, it's like, we wanted to produce like the best content and do national campaigns and things like that, which we did. And then at a certain point I was like, I want to be a professional host, which is like a totally different thing. But when I look back, I realize that my experiences as a brand strategist, as someone who spent tons of time pitching and managing teams, I've interviewed thousands and thousands of people for all these years. I've tied to like all of my experiences have actually created a place now where I can say, I want to go and do that. And I will draw on the well of experience that I've been slowly working away on digging, not realizing that it would later serve me at all. And so I think that there's too much pressure to say, what will I do? Like, what is my ultimate purpose? What is the thing I'm going to do to change the world? What is the thing that I'm going to do to be the best person? And just release yourself of that incredibly high bar that may be unsustainable to even hold on to. And just say, what do I want to do next? I don't know. What do you think about shortening that window?
Yeah. No, I think it's a beautiful thing. What's up, my friends? It's Stu, and I have big news. After interviewing hundreds of people on their journey in life and experiencing my own journey to a life full of fulfillment and passion, I finally put together a special guide just for you. And it's called 3 Steps to Finding Direction in Under 10 Minutes. And you can go grab it at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. If you're feeling lost and like you're not quite sure what you want to do with your life, this guide will help you figure out exactly what your next step is in just under 10 minutes. You're not alone in this journey, and I'm excited to guide you through this process until you've truly created a life that you love. Go grab the guide at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. I look forward to helping you create your dream life. And I think a question people can get stuck in a lot of times is just like you said, asking yourself, well, like, well, what if this isn't the thing forever? Like, what if this isn't really the thing I'm supposed to do? And I think one really important thing to grasp and kind of attach to what you're saying is like, well, if this isn't the thing forever, like this is the thing that will take you to the next thing, you know,
and maybe it'll take you to the next thing that takes you to the next thing that takes you to the next thing that actually takes you to the thing.
Right. But you have to let go of that fear of, well, what if this isn't it? Because that, whatever, whether it is the thing or not, it's going to give you a lesson that's going to help you get to the next thing. Right.
You know what everyone's afraid of, Stu? Everyone is afraid to spend any time, energy, investment, or money on something that is not immediately, linearly going to pay off right away.
Amen.
And that's the thing. It's like, I was having a conversation with my wife about friendship. And she's like, yeah, you know, I struggle to spend enough time with people to feel comfortable enough to reveal who I really am to them. But if I don't reveal who I really am to them, then I have no way of really knowing if we could be really good and tight friends. And I don't want to invest that time in people if I might not necessarily be good friends with them. And it's like, okay, you gotta, if you're dating, you gotta go out on the blind dates or whatever, swipe left or I don't know. I've been married 20 years. You gotta do all of that stuff you need to do to get the dates and get the numbers in. If you're pitching VCs, you gotta get in and have the meetings and put in the rep count and get the no's, right? If you're out looking for a new career, you gotta take the step back to be able to go down a few grades in pay, to be able to move sideways, to get up to the next thing. Like you got to put the time in, and it may not be pay off, but that's actually the greatest thing in the world. Like as soon as you can release yourself of this constant pressure to have it figured out, to never make mistakes, and to make sure that every minute of every day is perfectly leading to the next thing for you. Trust me, you will be 35 and you will be thinking, is that it? It is not the way to live.
Mm. Beautifully said, man. Beautifully said. So one of the things you do now, obviously, as well as be a professional host, you got the podcast, We Do Hard Things. So I'm curious for you, and I think it's kind of an interesting piece to bring this in, where it's like, you know, sometimes you have an idea of what you want to do, but there is that fear, again, that shows up. And sometimes it's a hard thing for people to do to push through that fear. And so I'm curious for you, sort of two questions. One, how can people push through that? And then two, and you kind of already answered that, so maybe the second real question is for you, what do you feel like is the hardest thing you've ever done?
Okay, two good questions. One, how do you push through the hard things? Action is the only way to do it. Because I run a lot. I'm doing a Spartan race tomorrow. So I'm on my way to Michigan.
Nice.
Right after this call, I got to go to Michigan for a Spartan race.
Let's go.
And when you're doing hard things like running on the treadmill or practicing a run or trying to lose weight or dieting or any of the hard things that just take consistency, the only way that you can prove to yourself that you're capable of doing it is just to do it. Mm. And I struggle with this, and we all do, right? It's just, last year I did a health challenge where I got to like 13% body fat. I got like six pack abs in my late 30s. And now I'm like 20 pounds heavier. My cheeks are all chubby. My wife's like, you look great. And I'm like, I don't know if I look good compared to that. But if I want to get to 13% body fat, I know what I have to do. I've done it. I know what I have to do. I just need to do it. And so much of breaking through the imposter syndrome, breaking through to the next level, proving to yourself what you're really capable of, is not listening to the fact that, like, oh, my body hurts. I'm really tired. This is really uncomfortable. It's really hard. It's really scary. Like, sure, your brain's going to say that. Your body's going to say that. You're going to get all these signals. And we've been programmed to believe that somehow, like, we have to obey what our heart, what our brain, what our body tells us. No, we don't. You just keep going.
Yeah.
When fear comes, you keep going. When your legs hurt, you just keep running. Right? Like that's the only way to get through it. And eventually it gets easier, and eventually you grow, and eventually it's less scary. Now, the second part of your question, the scariest, did you say the scariest or the hardest?
Hardest thing you've done.
I do hard stuff all the time, but the hardest thing, so I was thinking of a health challenge because that's typically what we think of. We think of David Goggins, right? Like I'm going to be hardcore, be tough and all that stuff. But honestly, I think making life-changing decisions and having the courage to see them through is the hardest thing that I've ever done. So here's a great example. When COVID hit, we were a multi-million dollar agency with 24 full-time staff. One of our clients prepaid us a lot of money to work on a project that was supposed to be done in April of 2020. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, but in March of 2020, something happened with the pandemic and everything shut down. And so 6 months later, we're sitting on hundreds of thousands of dollars of work that can't go ahead. They won't let us go ahead. We can't go ahead. We're sitting on the money. I can't spend the money. My team's sitting on standby. And ultimately, I realized that I could not deliver this. I couldn't deliver the project profitably. Like if I moved forward, it would bankrupt my company. And I could not figure out a way to get out of it. I couldn't figure out how to deliver it. I couldn't figure out how to move the project forward. I'm sitting on all this money. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Everyone's freaking out. I'm having anxiety. I'm having panic attacks. Yeah. And my wife and I go away for the weekend and I'm walking on a hike with her down this mountain. And I realize I just need to call up my client and tell him the truth. I just need to call up my client and say, I'm sorry. I don't know how to move forward with this. If you make us move forward with the project, which we're legally bound to do, and we're sitting on the money, it will bankrupt my company. You'll get nothing. I can give you the money back and I will do that for you. Or you can leave me with the money and I won't deliver anything and we'll do like a little shell game. Right? So do you want to just give me these hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Yeah.
Do you want to take the money back, which you're telling me you can't do for all kinds of reasons? Or do you want to bankrupt my company that's been running for all of these years? That was a really hard thing.
Dang.
And it was a hard conversation to have. It was hard to admit. It was hard to be honest. But let me tell you, months later, when like $380,000 or something, $360,000, $380,000, $400,000, I don't remember, when it left my account in December, that was very hard. Because it's one thing to do the right thing and the honorable thing. It's another to decide you're going to do it. But when the money leaves your account and you go in the middle of a pandemic from being like, okay, we're safe, to like, oh shit, what do we do now? That was hard. And that was one of many hard decisions I've had to make. And I've had to make many more since then.
Yeah.
But most people think the hardest things are the physical, the emotional, or things like that. I think the hardest thing is doing the right thing, sticking to it, and trying to continue to drive forward in faith when there's no real proof that it's going to work out for you.
Love that. Love it. What would your, I don't want to say like pitch be, but what would your pitch be to anyone that's listening to this if you were trying to say to them like, hey, you should do one more hard thing a week? Like, you know, like why should people do more hard things rather than just, you know, doing what's easy, I guess?
Listen, if you're not ambitious, if you're not a high achiever, if you don't want more out of life, and you're really perfectly happy just coasting, then go ahead and do what comes naturally to you and what's easy to you.
Yeah.
Honestly, I say to my wife all the time, I just wish I wasn't so ambitious. I just wish I didn't care so much. I wish I just didn't try so hard because it's so much easier. But sure. If you want more of anything, it isn't given to you. It's 100% within your reach. Like you can do like the most remarkable things. But it's not going to be given to you. So, I mean, the only pitch I can give someone is to say like, hey, if you eat carefully for 4 weeks, because I did that, like if you eat carefully, really carefully for 4 weeks, I dropped like 12 pounds. I dropped like 4% body fat in 4 weeks. And I was like, I didn't even realize I could do that. Because guess what? I only eat carefully for 3 or 4 days. And then I don't eat carefully. And then I eat carefully. And then I don't eat carefully. And suddenly it's like 4 weeks. Suddenly it can change. If you're in a career and you're unhappy with your manager, if you're unhappy with where you're at and you want to move laterally, or you're even like hands up, like this is just the end of it, I will do anything to do something else. Great. A hard thing's about to happen. You're going to have that direct conversation. You're going to be honest. you're gonna maybe have to downsize your life or take a step back or whatever it is. But the truth is, like, the only pitch is there is no alternative. It's a fallacy. It's a lie. It's a delusion. You will not get what you want without doing the hard things you need to do in order to get it. And the truth is, so few people are willing to do the hard things that just by doing them, it raises you to a whole new class, a whole new way of thinking. It's less competitive. It's just like, go do it. And you will not only make yourself proud, you'll not only start to get the things that you want, but you'll start to see that these future challenges in front of you can also be unlocked.
Awesome. Okay. Time to do some hard things if you're uncomfortable.
Do you believe me, Stu?
Absolutely, man. I mean, I can feel the passion in your heart and in your body when you say that. So I agree. It's like, if you're not satisfied, you have to do the uncomfortable action. Like someone once told me, I think the quote was, you can do the difficult things now and have an easy life later, or do the easy things now and have a difficult life later.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, if you have that achiever, which I hear what you're saying, where you're like, man, if I didn't have it, life would be easy. But if you do have it and you have that drive and that push to get to that next level, you got to muster up that courage and say, all right, I'm going to do the thing that's hard and scary. And that's how you get to the next level. So
it's just an investment, right? Like if you think about it, you don't earn anything or get anything without some kind of investment or value exchange.
Yeah.
No one just, like, I mean, maybe someone you love might give you a gift.
Right.
But even that is an exchange, right? So you are making an investment yourself. You're going to make an investment in time, in money, in effort, in sweat, in courage. It's an investment in you, and you are the greatest asset. You are the product of the rest of your life. You are the one that you should, invest in your company. Cool. But, or invest in your career, or invest in your nonprofit startup or your hobbies or whatever. That's all fine. But if you're not investing in you, the one thing that you will carry with you for the rest of your life, then, I mean, like, it's just so clear to me. Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah. One interesting way I think I look at it as well is when you look at, like, time as itself, and if you have something hard that you need to do in your life, let's say, and you look at right now as we're recording this, and when it'll come out will be in July. And so let's say you go, okay, in the next 90 days, I know I have a hard thing to do. So by the time, what would that be? We'll just call it October comes. Like, October is going to come regardless. And I think one of the ways that I've started to approach doing hard things in my life is like, 3 months are going to go by. Like, regardless, in the blink of an eye, all of a sudden that 3 months is going to be over. We're going to be in October. Time's going to pass. And when you get to that date, would you rather get to that date in 3 months? Because it's going to pass in the blink of an eye regardless. Would you rather get there and go, oh, I still have that hard thing to do? Or would you rather get there and be like, man, like, that was a crazy last 3 months. Like, I did this thing that scared the shit out of me. And like regardless, the time's going to pass. So if time's going to pass anyway, why not do the hard thing? Like, it's going to go by in a blink of an eye anyway, so you might as well do the thing that's hard.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, like this, at a certain point when we boil it down, it's like, it's very pragmatic, right? I love your quote, the idea of, you know, we're either going to do the easy things now or the hard things now, and later it pays off. Another way to play with time that I love, from a book by the comedian Jimmy Carr, a British comedian. He wrote a great book, but he talks about the fact that, like, anything you do today is a gift or a cost to future you. You want to be wealthy in the future? You can be. What are you doing today? You want to be healthy at 65? You can be. You can be healthy. You can be attractive. You can be young. You can have lots of stuff. You can have lots of money. You can have anything you want 20 or 30 years from now. Like, the current version of you is doing what it needs to do to gift the future version of you exactly what you want that life to look like. But most people run into, like, diabetes and heart issues later in life because they're too busy ignoring the stuff right now, right? A lot of stuff that can be avoided can be avoided. And a lot of stuff that you may want, you can get if you do it now and gift the future you exactly what you want.
Yeah. I think it's a good question for anyone listening to this to ask themselves right now, is like, if you have something you're pursuing in your life, ask yourself, okay, well, the actions you took today, was that a cost to you or was that an investment to your future self? I think it's a beautiful kind of way to audit your day to day. And so, Mark, you've been a tremendous amount of value. I love hanging out with you. Also, your fly that's hanging around this room with us.
It just keeps circling. It's like, what is happening? Yeah. Yeah.
For anyone that's watching, we'll have a good time. But I'm curious for, you know, people that want to hang out with you and see what you're up to and everything you do. I know you got, you know, so many amazing things you're putting out into the world and doing. Where's the best place people can find you, see what you're up to, and just be around you more?
Oh, well, thank you, Stu. The best way to get in touch with me is head over to IG. My handle is at Mark Draeger. Drop me a DM. Let me know. Like, we can keep the conversation going. It's me. Let me know what you think of this. If you want to check out We Do Hard Things, the YouTube show that I have, head over to YouTube. We Do Hard Things or at Mark Draeger. Or you can listen as also a podcast. But the video I always think is better.
Heck yeah. I love it. So last question I have for you. We ask this to all our guests because we want to help people find direction, but we believe in doing it through action. Is what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life right now?
Answer the question, what do you want? What do you want? Because it is the most important question you can ask yourself of every minute of every hour of every day. Because if it's clear what you want, if you're like, I'm hungry, then you know what you need to do. If you're like, I'm sleepy, you know what you need to do.
Yeah.
If you're like, I think I want to start a new company. I think I'm unhappy in this relationship. If you can answer the question, what you want, and if you can get specific about it, everything else, it's not that it becomes easier, but it becomes clear. Mm. When you don't know what you want specifically, then how do you know if what you're doing is good, it's bad? Is it helping you? Is it pulling you away? Are you spinning? Are you circling? Do you keep bumping up against the same stuff over and over? Just answer the question. Pull out a journal. Go for a walk. do whatever you need to do to get into a really great state. But get into a state and just spend some time figuring out what you want. Don't judge when you say, I want this. Don't judge yourself for it. Don't question why you want it. Don't feel guilty about it. Just answer the question, what do you want? And then start working towards it.
Hmm. Amazing. All right. Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure. And we appreciate all the value you brought today.
Oh, thank you, man.
Congratulations on crushing it through another episode here on the Finding Direction podcast. I want you to make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, give yourself a round of applause, because you are truly one of the few who's not willing to settle for a life less than one that lights up your soul. And that is something that we absolutely need to take a moment and make sure you appreciate, because that is a rare thing, my friend. I want to say thank you so much for hanging out with me today as Mark and I sat down. And as you go throughout the rest of your day, make sure you take something from this episode and start acting on it in your life. You take one thing and start acting on it, and I promise you, you are going to improve the quality of your life. So go do that. That's all we have for today, and I will see you or talk to you on the podcast next time. Take care.